Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon State did it. Back-to-back wins. Beavers won the Civil War, then laid it on Utah last night. Wayne Tinkle with us. All right, how did you treat your team in the days leading to this game? Because you got their attention somehow.
Well, John, just we talked about validating the Civil War victory, following it up. We hadn't done that in conference, won back-to-back games. And as I mentioned to you before, going into the Oregon game, we said, listen, we can't do anything about the games we've lost here at Gill, but starting tonight, we've got five left. Let's try to return to dominance here. And so we just brought that up again going into Utah. We didn't mention Colorado coming in on Saturday. It was all focused on ourselves early in the week and then University of Utah. And credit to our guys for following up and putting a couple of games together with great intensity and high-level defense.
What did you get that you don't get on the off nights?
I think the big thing was our consistency to the game plan on both ends. Defensively, last night was really make it tough for Ryland Jones and for the Allen kid, and we did that. And then offensively, it was attack the rim, get it to Big Kyler, Ethan. I mean, 11 assists. We had a bunch of dunks at the rim off the pick and roll, and then we shot the ball well. You and I talked about that. We were 8-for-20 or 8-for-21 from three, and that's as good a percentage as we've had for a while. So our offense fed a little bit off of our defense, which is a key. Usually when we've lost games, we've dropped our level of defense because we weren't flowing offensively.
Wayne Tinkle with us, Oregon State men's basketball coach. I look at the standings, and it's amazing what one game can do. You see where you guys jumped?
Yeah, that's what we kept telling our guys. If they just hang in there, put a good weekend together, that we could climb the ladder. And and it's just that way this year in league. You have a bad weekend and you can drop a bunch. You have a good one and you can really elevate yourselves, and proud of our guys for doing that.
I imagine you come out of a game like last night and it's not like you go, there's, you know, a bunch of conditioning today because you got a game with Colorado coming up. How much teaching are you doing today and tomorrow?
That's the big thing. We watched some film from last night and we weren't content with last night's performance. We thought we got a little sloppy and lost our discipline. You know, you smell the blood in the water, and now you start gambling defensively. We kept telling our guys to stay disciplined. And then we didn't get after them a bunch in the locker room, but we reminded them that that's what's cost us games in the past. And then today we showed them that in film. And then we got to the court, did a lot of shooting, and then we walked through some of the sets offensively that we didn't run properly last night, and then showed them what we're going to see from Colorado. And then we started doing this a few weeks ago. On the day of games, we're taping now, and we're going almost full speed for about 45 minutes. And that's something that I've done every once in a while with teams that maybe have some young guys and the focus isn't always there. We did that on the Stanford-Cal trip, and we've done it every shoot-around thus far. We'll do that again tomorrow in prep for, you know, the 7 o'clock game with Colorado.
Wayne Tinkle with us, Oregon State men's basketball coach. When you look at Colorado, you know, is it a discussion where you go, hey, we're going to make life hard for one player, or is that a broader discussion?
No, the key is McKinley Wright. He's their key. When we were able to pull that game out in Colorado, we went to our 1-3-1 to keep him from getting downhill and getting into the paint. And so our ball screen coverage is a lot better now than it was then, so I think we'll be able to play man like we did the full game against Oregon. The nice thing, John, is we've got the combination now to play 1-3-1. 2-3 is what won us the Arizona game, and then last night it frustrated Utah. So our guys, it's not necessarily what we're doing, but how they're doing it. You know, their focus, their effort, their communication. And that makes us tough to beat because we've got several different defenses we can throw at you to take away what your strengths are. And tomorrow, it's McKinley Wright, but they're the number one three-point shooting team in the league. They're a great rebounding team. So it's going to be a battle, and I know they've been looking forward to get a little retribution against us. They've said that publicly, and our guys will be up for the challenge, I'm sure.
What message? Okay, so you've got two in a row. You did done something that you hadn't done in conference play to that point. And is there a repeat? Do you think they get it? Do you think, or do you, as a coaching staff, how do you sort of regroup to frame, all right, here comes Colorado?
Yeah, no, it's a great point because we haven't proven that we get it consistently. You know, we've been up and down, and everybody knows that. So we've got to stay on our guys, you know, and we can't let them relax and think, okay, we've got it all figured out now. And I'm sure it's a little monotonous for some of the veterans, but the new guys that we're counting on, you see the contributions Gianni Hunt and Jared Lucas, two true freshmen, are giving us now. And, you know, they've got to stay on edge and focused, as well as some of our veterans who, you know, have been down the stretch and, you know, they know this time of year and you know, the price of poker is going up. And we've got to find that balance, but make sure we keep our edge and stay locked in and don't ever get complacent. And you hear that from guys like Trace and Zach and Ethan when they're interviewed. They know we can't get complacent. We've got to continue to find ways to improve.
As a coach, I talk to a lot of coaches, and some coaches will sit back and they'll say, I'm not as nervous on game day because I've done everything I can do. Others feel like they need to roll their sleeves up and sort of interject themselves. What's your approach when, as game time approaches, you've done the teaching, you've done the scouting, you've done the coaching?
You know, it's a good point. Nobody's ever really asked about that, but I love 12 o'clock games, 1 o'clock games, because you come in the morning, you do your shoot around, you eat your pregame meal, you come back and tip it up. And what drives me nuts is that time pregame meal ends until the ball goes up in the air, and especially the last hour and a half, because you put the work in, you're prepared. Now it's time to just go play. But the thing that sometimes, you know, will get my stomach rumbling is, did we show the guys everything? Did we overdo it? Or now are they ready to go? Because you talk about 18 to 22 year olds, and, you know, someone might, you know, be in a fight with their girlfriend or over some silly argument, or they're stressed about a test, or, you know, whatever social media is saying it, you know, so you got all these things that you worry about what's going through their mind. That's what kind of makes me uneasy. It's never, you know, whether we're prepared or not, or did we give them enough about our opponent. It's some of those other things that are out of my control. And you just learn over the years that, you know, you've done your job. It's up to the players to bring it to the court and execute it.
Wayne Tinkle with us. Before I cut you loose, you mentioned social media, and I thought it was interesting. I've seen coaches who tell the guys you got to put the phones away. You guys go back to the locker room. You let guys kind of have a moment to exhale. Do they get on their mobile devices before games, or do you have a rule?
We don't really have a rule. We do tell them, you know, we can't tell them not to do it. You know, you see, like Nico Mannion, you know, I know at the beginning of the year, he deleted and he announced it. He goes, you know, bye for now. I'm deleting my Twitter for the season. And you tell guys not to look at it because, you know, it can poison their minds when people are blowing smoke at them, or when people are being hard, or when people are being hard on me. You know, I can handle that. I mean, I had a guy ask me how you deal with that. And I said, listen, I grew up with the last name Tinkle. I've dealt with some crap over my lifetime. But you don't want your players, you know, letting negative thoughts creep into their mind. You know, and then hearing from people that aren't in our huddle day in and day out, trying to tell them what they should be getting, what they should be doing, how much they should be playing. And if you get your team to really lock in and buy into what we're telling them day in and day out, and block all that other nonsense out, then you can learn and grow. And I think that's what we're in the middle of right now.
All right, Coach, congrats to you. You know, wish you luck again this weekend.
Hey, thanks. Always good to be with you, buddy.
All right, Wayne.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you too. Happy Valentine's Day, Oregon State coach Wayne Tinkle. Up next, Rebecca Black.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to...
For most of the week, we have been hearing this Rebecca Black song off and on. Production staff has never been so excited. Bottom line, though, 9 years ago, a 13-year-old kid posted that video and became like, I think, an overnight sensation. I was in the car driving with the 17-year-old yesterday morning, and I said, hey, I'm going to have Rebecca Black on the show. She was like, really? Like, I've had President Obama on this show. It's not been as big a deal to her. Rebecca Black joining us now. How are you, Rebecca?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. I cannot believe that someone would be more excited about me than Obama. I refuse to accept that.
13-year-old kid 9 years ago. Does it feel like it was 9 years ago?
Yes and no. I mean, in some ways, you know, I can like clock myself back into the way that I remember feeling, and that feels like it was just yesterday. But also, I've grown up so much, I feel like it's kind of been like 30 years.
You look at sort of the viral videos and kids, who everybody's posting stuff on YouTube now. And I saw your post this week. You celebrate the anniversary. You got a new song coming out, which we're going to play. But you also had like this comment, this really reflective comment about going back and talking to yourself at age 13. What would you say to the 13-year-old Rebecca Black?
I would say, I mean, exactly what I said in that post, which is basically like, there's always a chance to start over. And even though right now might feel like your world is collapsing and like you are never going to have a second chance, that is just untrue. And no matter who tells you, how many people tell you, doesn't matter how long they tell you, there's always a chance to get back up. And also, I would tell her, just because somebody tells you that you're not enough or that you suck or anything negative about you, doesn't mean that you have to believe it. And it doesn't mean that they're right at all.
Such a good song. It's catchy. Like, it stays with you. I'm singing it. Like, everybody, when I put it on, everybody starts moving around. How was it received at the time? Like you post that, you upload that song, and then what happens?
Well, I mean, that's what's so crazy to hear is that back 9 years ago, it was a completely different story. And obviously, the internet was an entirely different place. And I think as a, like, internet culture, we've all grown a lot, obviously, in the past 9 years. But back in the day, like, everybody wouldn't stop talking about how much they hated the song and saying, you know, the most unreal things about it and about me, which, listen, I'm not trying to sit here and say that the song is anything, you know, with a ton of lyrical depth in it. But at the same time, now, and especially in the last couple years, but of course this week, hearing people like you say that, you know, it's catchy and it's fun and what an iconic song it is, like, that is an entirely new narrative for that song that it is, in a way, like, really validating to hear.
Does that surprise you that now, like, do you feel like the song's more appreciated now? Or maybe we look back, maybe we've all become more sensitive to, like, hey, these are kids that are posting this stuff, and we kind of view it through a different prism. We're a little more forgiving.
Yeah, I mean, it is surprising, and I think it speaks volumes to the fact that, like, not all hope is lost in the internet, and also, like, in a time right now where there is a lot of really intense things happening, people can come together and be kind and also accept the fact that maybe they said things or did things years ago that they don't resonate with now and are able to apologize. I think that, you know, outside of my situation and just generally is a really brave thing to do publicly, no matter whether you've got, you know, one follower or a million.
Rebecca Black with us, singer, songwriter. She's got a new song out. I'm going to play it here in a minute. Rebecca, I've got three daughters, and should they be on YouTube? Should I be, like, monitoring them? What age is right? You've been through this. You've lived it. What advice do you give to parents?
Well, I'm not a parent, so there's only so much I can say about it. But, I mean, I think it's important to ask questions and also try to educate yourself as a parent as much as you can about the internet in general so that you can be in the know. It doesn't mean that you have to read over their shoulder every single thing that they're, you know, watching or reading or whatever it is, but ask them, you know, about it and also don't be afraid to like get in on it yourself. The best way to know what they're doing is to, you know, if they say that they're watching something, just go check it out. You don't have to, you know, again, scare them about it because that'll only maybe make them want to watch potentially worse things or feel like they have to keep secrets from you. You know, just be a part of the, you know, a part of the conversation.
The conspiracy theorists want to know if the Friday that you're singing about is the same Friday that Katy Perry was singing about last Friday night. Is that the same party? Are these things connected?
No, unless you want to think that they are.
It's a good story.
It'd make a great story.
It's a good story. What did, like back in 9 years ago, what did it cost you to produce the whole video? And how do you raise the money for that at age 13?
Well, my mom was a single mom, and she is from Mexico. She is very passionate about her kids. And how she didn't have a lot of opportunity growing up. So I think she tries to give as much as she can. There was no fundraising or anything like that. My mom just really wanted to support me in something that I wanted to know more about and that I was passionate about.
I think that's cool. I also think like I was watching CNN. I see your story pop up on the website. I look at it. I'm like, wow, she has such a strong message. And we talk so much on this show about how our mobile devices sort of isolate us and what technology does to us as people. And you and some others, I think we're at the forefront of that. And now you're doing positive things. What's new in your life? What are you doing next besides the song?
Well, I haven't stopped writing, and I am only continuing to, I guess, understand it more for myself, because Friday came from a place where, like, I didn't write that song at all. So, you know, afterwards, I had a lot of obviously growing up to do. I had to get myself through high school at least. And now I'm 22 and I've been living out on my own in LA and just constantly trying to make better music each time I create. And so there's more music coming. I think there's going to be new music out next month, which is insane, and a bunch more coming this year. But yeah, I mean, really for me, it's been so awesome to have a conversation about something that's bigger than just my experience and is something I care about so much, which is mental health and, you know, online culture and what it's doing to all of us, really.
All right, I'm going to play this song. It's from the Sweetheart album. Is that right? Am I getting that right?
I put a song out. Close. I put a song out called Sweetheart at the end of last year, and I just released an awesome remix done by Dance Yourself Clean.
Okay,
that's what you'll hear.
And what are we hearing here? I'm going to play it, and I'm going to say goodbye to you because this will be the end of the show. We'll go off into our Friday. Feels appropriate, but what are we playing here?
You're playing Sweetheart by Rebecca Black.
All right, Rebecca Black, I appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep inspiring people, and I'm proud of that 13-year-old.
Oh, well, thank you very much, John. It was wonderful to talk to you.
All right, here's Rebecca Black's song, and I'm going to send you into your Friday with it. It's called, Sweetheart, Dance Yourself Clean.
Never keep it, promise. Try to keep it simple for you. High up in the clouds, like you're so special. Like I never heard that before. Gotta break it to you gentle. But maybe I don't. Maybe So cool, acting like the fucking dude was spilling out like a fool.
I feel sorry for you.
Don't call me a sweetheart. Actually, don't call me at all. Buried that girl in the back. Yeah, bet you didn't think I'd take it that far. Don't call me a sweetheart. Like that makes my skin.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.